Hello, welcome to the Apple Cart, a podcast brought on by business owners who like to upset the proverbial corporate apple cart. They do things in a different way, creatively, disruptively, and occasionally randomly. I'm your host, Gudrun Lorette. Hello and welcome back to the Apple Cart. My guest today is Amanda Webb. She is a self-confessed analytics geek and she's based in the Republic of Ireland. Amanda, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me. I'm delighted to be talking to you, even if it means that I have to do a podcast episode with you.
Well, I mean, it's what we could just chat anyway. We should probably chat more. We've known each other quite a while now. I think, did we first meet in Nottingham for Marketed Live? I seem to remember pre-pandemic
going. I was definitely there.
Yeah.
I was at the first Atomicon and I did speak to every single person that was there. But whether we consider that meeting, because I don't remember speaking to you particularly, I don't know.
I mean, most people do remember me. That was a long time ago, the first Atomicon, yeah. Yeah. Did you really speak to everybody there?
Well, everyone that made it to the after party, so not everyone that was in the room, but I made an effort to go.
The after party is
around.
A bit of a...
Yes. There were people that had to be picked up to go home.
Yes.
Like literally one person each side to carry them.
Yeah, that was
wasn't
not
you.
Me.
It wasn't you. No, and it wasn't me either. I just like to mention for people who know me from my old days.
Yes, no, I mean I normally can stagger home on my own. Yeah, that was when we ended up in the secret karaoke room and people kept disappearing.
Well, then if you were in there, we definitely met.
We must have done. I mean, I don't sing karaoke. Because I think it's awful, but it does. Well, basically, I just had FOMO and I didn't want to not be in the room. Plus, it's very, very funny to watch people do karaoke. I do enjoy karaoke. I had a really good night in a karaoke bar in Leicester with Biz Paul, and Lucy, and Charlie, who works for Paul, and Janine and Tim Lewis and Christine. And it was the most amazing thing I've ever seen. It was like something out of one of those Japanese anime things. It was like a Gretzko, but not as loud. And it was all like disco lights, and there were these huge metal, I don't know why, they had these big metal teddy bears like all over. And we were really, really drunk, as you can imagine. But this was what Paul really wanted to do, was go to karaoke. And it was just, you know, there's all these flashing lights and mirrored walls. And it was like some hallucination or lucid dream. And
sounds way better than any karaoke bar I've been to before. I need to go to this one. People do need to stop me singing because I'm not sure anyone enjoys that. But you're right, it's fun to watch other people stupidly sing.
It really is. Yeah, you'll have to ask Paul where it is. But we just, you know, everybody just sort of followed Paul, and you're just on some random street. And then I think we went down some back lane and up some stairs. Like, it was completely unassuming. It did not look like when we got in there that was what it was going to be. And it was just, I was so excited. I actually filmed a video of myself going down the corridor with all the flashy lights and things and mirror. Even the doors were mirrored. So, and I keep using.
Are you sure it was a karaoke bar now? There wasn't anything more dodgy going on there.
Well, I mean, it was a long night. I know that. I would keep using these podcasts as an excuse to tell Biz Paul that he needs to do another Marketed Live. So if he does it again in Leicester, we might have
to. Leicester was easy enough for me to get to, and Birmingham was easy enough for me to get to. And Nottingham's easy enough. I think it was Leicester that wasn't easy for me to get to. So I didn't go to the last one. And then that was the last one.
That's
so I'm kind of gutted.
What is an analytics geek, Amanda?
Well, I'm an analytics geek. So it is somebody that enjoys looking at, specifically for me, Google Analytics, but any other marketing metrics, and really diving deep to see what they can tell us about our marketing, if they can tell us where we could be using our time better, where we could be using our budgets better. So that's generally it. Every client that comes to me for me to work and set up counts for them has different goals. So that I love because, after a while, working on your own stuff gets boring. So it's really good fun to do that. So I really love learning new things, learning how to do new things. I'm often breaking my own analytics as I'm trying to work stuff out. But I mean, it's for me, I would be so happy just sitting behind my computer all day long doing analytics things. But sometimes I have to go out. So that's what I do. I set up, not just set up, I set up Google Analytics and things like Tag Manager and Looker Studio in a way that gives you the information you need in order to be able to build a marketing strategy that actually delivers results.
And how did you end up as a Google Analytics geek? You weren't always, when we first met, you were not a Google Analytics geek.
No, I've been through a lot of iterations, but analytics has always been at the heart of it. When I started this business, I think it's like 15 years now. And when I started, I just looked at social media. That's what I was doing. I was looking at social media and I helped people set up their social media accounts and told them what to post. I did a little bit of management for about 5 minutes, but hated it. So I stopped doing social media management. And then I just became kind of an all-round digital marketer. I started doing training for Fáilte Ireland, which is the tourism promotion board in Ireland. So it's a government organization. Did a lot of training for them. So for a couple of years there, I was on the road the entire time around the country teaching different groups of people how to use it. But then I got into I really focused in on blogging for a while. This is like a really long focus in on blogging for, and that's when I got into analytics because I wanted obviously to grow my audience and find out more about how Google Analytics could tell me what was working. But back then, I wasn't smart. Back then, I was all about how many visits can I get to my website? How many people can I get? So, I got 50,000 people to my website a month at one stage. And that was like, woohoo, I am winning. Guess what? I wasn't making much money because the only money I was making was pretty much from doing not just Fáilte Island training, but training in other places. The website itself is getting a lot of traffic, but not bringing me any money. So, took me a while to realize. And when I did realize, one, it was really painful because I started looking at the blog posts that would bring in the most traffic into my website and realizing they were totally off topic. They were useless. They weren't driving anyone to even sign up to my email list, let alone anything else. So I started rewriting those or pulling those down. And then my traffic tanked. And that was really painful. And then, so then I did a few other things. I did live streaming, but always I was kind of like an all-rounder. Didn't really have a specific thing, but all that time I'm using my analytics to actually make my website work for me. And eventually, our friends Andrew and Pete, I joined their Rebels program.
Oh,
And
did
really,
you?
the reason I joined is I needed somebody to give me direction to say, do this. First call, they were like, you should do this. You should focus in on ROI and analytics. And I went, oh, okay. And that was it, I think 3 years ago now. And I've never looked back because I really, really enjoy it. It's great to be able to know what it is that I'm selling to niche. People would say that's niching, but I guess in some ways it is. I can still advise you on your digital strategy because I've done it all and I stay on top of it. But I really, the analytics is what I do. Like 80% of my business would be related to analytics now, which is great. And obviously more lucrative because once people know what you sell, it's easier for them to buy from you. So there's definitely advantage to niching.
I would agree with that. I worked with Andrew and Pete when they were doing it was called Andrew and Pete 123. That was how much it was.
Back in the day.
That was 9 years ago, and it was Andrew and Pete who gave me the encouragement to actually become a copywriter and tell people that was what I was doing. So I they made me do it at their they used to do an in-person networking event, which was the previous iteration of what is the membership and then the conference. So what you mentioned there about being part of their program. And I've worked with different business coaches and still do. What do you think the benefit of getting coaching is?
That's, I think, probably before I did Rebels, I wouldn't have really been that excited about getting a coach. I was kind of like, I'm one of those people that likes to try and do everything myself. So I still don't outsource as much as I probably should. I'm a bit of a control freak. So, and I'm scared of people telling me I'm doing things wrong. So I guess I wasn't that enthusiastic, but COVID was a very good time for people in digital marketing. So I'd earned quite a lot of money then, and I wanted to invest it back into the business. So I thought, well, actually, maybe let's see what this coaching is. I think the thing I would be worried about the most was who I would trust enough to listen to them to take their opinion on board. So I cho chose two just out of teenage year blokes.
Yes, who never had a job and only ever run a business.
Well, I'm a bit like that too. No, I'd known Andrew and Pete long enough that I knew they were kind of smart in a way that was. You need to tag them in this now so that they can hear me.
I will do, I will do.
So they were smart enough, and they did things differently, which I think comes from them being young and not stuck in their ways. So I felt that their program would probably be the one. And that was it. I was going to do whatever they said because I trusted them enough that they weren't going to send me down the wrong path. And I think that's the worry with coaching, is that you'll choose someone and they just come up with something random that doesn't suit you at all. So that's, I would really, I like, I've worked with them, and I've worked with Mike Cole, who I think you know as
I've worked
well.
with
I think
Michael,
he's
yeah.
great, and I trust him as well. But it takes a little while for me to get to that level. So, I mean, I think you probably want a coach that does a specific thing at a specific time when you're trying to learn something. So it just happened that they were the right people at the right time with the right package, and I
Yeah.
had the money. So
Yeah,
that
that's
was it.
it. Yeah, I mean, if I'm honest, I have wasted money with people who promised things that didn't deliver. But yeah, Mike Cole is just, he's amazing, and he's just got such a lovely manner, and he's just, it's really nice to have somebody like that that you know is listening and you know is has your best interest at heart. He actually built a program for me, which I think he now sells, and it was because I was completely stuck in doing the same things over and over again, and I just, you know, I said I can't see how to get out of this. And he'd introduced, he was doing it's called Motivational Maps, so it's one of those you know behavior profile things. And what he did was you took the test and he'd become certified, so he went through the results with you. And they have, I think it's like four key metrics or six key metrics, and one of them is called spirit, and that is basically about wanting freedom, and that your freedom and being in control is the most important thing. And my score on that was so high that it went off the top of the bar chart. And he said, "I think that should be a sign, Cushman." And I thought, "Yeah, probably should." And so we worked together to come up with ideas, which is what I'm still iterating and building now. But yeah, I think you've got to be a bit selective, and I think maybe don't always go for big names who have big promises that they really can't deliver on.
I think a lot of people would sell on their big name. And that's the thing, I'm just not going to trust you. You're going to have to know me for a couple of years before I go, yeah, I'm going to invest money in you. So I think that's a big mistake people make, are the promises that you hear, and everyone looks all shiny, and you think this is the one for me, and then it turns out that they're not the one for you because they've got a different way of thinking.
Very definitely. So yes, yeah, I would recommend coaching of all kinds, but yeah, do your homework. Don't be like me and
It's so expensive though. You
do
don't want to make a mistake because the thing is, it's expensive unless it pays off. And if it
exactly.
pays off and all the coaching I've done has,
Yes.
then it's totally worth the money. But if you spend that money and it doesn't pay off, it's just money down the drain, and it's a lot of money down the drain. So you want to think about your return on investment, that being my thing, right?
Yes, very definitely. Yeah, and then you get resentful. You know, you've paid the money, you're in this program you can't get out of, and then you don't get any benefit from it. So yeah, it's but yeah, coaching is good. So you mentioned the live streaming, and you've done a couple of different shows, haven't you? What did you do, and why did you do it? What did you get from it?
So yeah, I ran the Digital Coffee for 8 years, every Friday, almost every Friday. Took time off for Christmas, and I was allowed time off for holidays and things. But if I couldn't do it live, I'd generally pre-record it and still put it out as live. So 8 years, and that was a new show about social media. And it was It was because it was weekly, I managed to hone it that this is going to come onto my new show. I was able to hone it quite quickly into the show it became, which was very interactive. I was very easy to repurpose. I had a lot of viewers, and that used to drive customers to me because somebody needed help with social media. They knew that I was a person because I knew all the news that was coming up. It was really effective at that. But then, of course, I changed into an analytics person. And slowly, at first, people were still saying when they, because this is how I knew, people would say, "Oh yeah, I love watching your show." And then slowly, I realized May this year, May the 4th, Star Wars Day, I was at a Star Wars concert. So 2024, just in case this goes out 2025, I was at a Star Wars concert, and I love like going to concerts, but my mind wanders after a while. Like so. I'm watching all the violins and everything going, oh, amazing that that sound comes from there. And then after a while, my head goes, you're wasting your time with the digital coffee. Now, this happens to me every now and then.
Wow.
And I would normally go and I'd look and I go, no, look at all these customers that have come in. You're just bored of doing it. And I'd look at all my stats and my metrics and everything would go, no, keep doing it. You know, it works. It's doing its job. This time I went, haven't had a customer in a while that's mentioned it. So I went home and looked at my, I call it a CRM, but it's a spreadsheet. I have tried all the CRM systems. I don't really have a lot of clients. You know, I have a number, the right number for a spreadsheet. And I have this field called First Contact, where I'll write down where I first met them because I like Star Trek. That's
I was
why I
going to
call it
say
that.
that's
Yeah.
very
Star Wars and Star Trek. Which one do I prefer? I don't know. I think Star Trek, but don't tell my other half that.
Sorry, I just pretend I didn't hear that.
Yeah. It's not like anyone else will ever listen. Oops.
Well, I'll get it edited. We'll edit it out. She couldn't make up her mind, honest.
So, yes, and I looked in that field and it had depleted. So new customers I got were no longer saying the digital coffee. So I've now find that the two places that people come from are the one place people come from mostly when they don't just find me through social media or whatever is conferences. And not that. So then I went and looked at the website just to make sure nobody was visiting the pages related to it or the blog posts that I was putting out related to it. So I went, right, great, I can give it up. Since every other time I'd had to keep doing it. So I replaced it. I gave myself a little bit of time off and I replaced it with that analytics show, which is once a month. And that's still because it's once a month, I'm not in that continuous routine of tweaking it. I'm still not quite happy with it, but I'm enjoying the process. Let's just put it that way. And it does get viewers, it does get people getting in touch with me, signing up for email, buying courses. So I'm happy enough with how that's going at the moment. I just, because the other one was so slick. When I say slick, I'd mess up, but the tech was good. I had like the structure was good. And this is not slick at all. So I'm working on that at the moment. And it's much harder to repurpose.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, I was talking to Tim Lewis, who you know, and we were talking about his live video shows, and he was saying that he's kind of stopping the live bit. But that commitment to turning up every Friday or nearly every Friday for 8 years, that's incredible. I am terrible with that kind of consistency and commitment. I haven't finished an advent calendar since about 1992. I honestly haven't. We get to Christmas Day and my dad goes, "Have you got that advent calendar then?" And he just pops out all the chocolates. So,
How could you resist the chocolate? I mean, I could
I
understand if you were
forget.
running ahead.
I forget. I just, I
You
forget.
forget about the chocolate. I was going to say, maybe you had one of those ones like I had when I was a kid that didn't have chocolate. You just
I
opened the
remember those
window
ones.
and there was a picture in it. And my parents would close all the windows then and put it in the box and it would come out again next year. And it was like, seriously?
Yeah, I remember. Yeah, my grandma had one of them. Yeah, really disappointing. Well, actually, a couple of years ago, we had a cheese advent calendar, and I did not forget that one. So I think maybe
Are
the
we going to talk
messages.
about advent calendars? Because I want to just like boast about mine now.
Oh, go on then. Go on then. Tell me about yours.
Totally off topic, but I think I have one advent calendar. We bought one of those ones that has the little drawers in so you can put your own things
Oh,
in.
yes.
And then there's a lint store in Kildare Village, which is just down the road from us, where you can do the pick and mix on the lint. So we get
Oh,
like a big variety of those. So one of those goes into each drawer.
yes.
And then I go and buy a variety of cheeses and chop them into little bits and wrap them in cling film and put them in a fridge with a number on. I'm such a geek. And then I put
Oh,
a bit of paper with a number, and it's all randomized. So we put them in the drawers, and then we randomly put the drawers everywhere. So you can't like fix it that you get blue cheese every day, for example. And then, so then I each day I get a chocolate and a little bit of cheese
I'm
randomly.
impressed.
It's the best advent calendar ever.
That is very cool. That is very. I did actually see one of those draw calendars in a shop the other day. Maybe I should go back and get it and fill it with cheese.
Well, you see, you're in France, so you could easily do it. You see, that's the problem with the cheese one. You had to keep it in the fridge.
Yes.
So now I've got my way that I still got a pretty advent calendar and I've got the cheese in. And obviously, it's better for the environment, right?
This is also true, very true. Yeah, I have been perusing the supermarket aisles for advent calendars, which I'm clearly never going to eat because we've established I don't eat advent calendars. But Lidl in the Republic of Ireland has this,
We
but
do.
ours has a wine advent calendar, which is
Oh.
24 days of full 750 ml bottles of.
Oh, like a proper, not a tiny, because I was imagining little bottles.
Oh
We
yes.
also have a beer advent calendar that's a box that
Yes.
we bought from like an off license that did fancy beers once, but now we refill it with, we just go around collecting beers all year round and put them in there.
Oh, that's a nice idea. But yeah, I thought, oh, I like that idea. And also I thought you cannot possibly drink a bottle of wine every day.
No.
I
Well,
mean,
yeah, you shouldn't anyway.
not if you want to continue things like working and getting up in the morning. I thought I'm not really sure where they're going with this, but this is France,
Yeah.
so
You'd be
yeah.
disappointed if there wasn't one, really. I was imagining little bottles of wine, like little, you can get gin ones that have the little few
Yes,
bottles
yeah,
of
so I've
gin.
done that one before, yeah. But yeah, no, full size bottles of wine. I don't think
They don't have them in Lidl in Ireland, I just mentioned. Not that I've noticed. They do have cheese, but
Yeah, I got the
it's
cheese one
not
from
good
Lidl.
French cheese. It's
No. I don't think I could even pick it up off the shelf to put it in my trolley. And also I tend to keep my advent calendar on the mantelpiece. And I don't think I could put 24 750 ml bottles of wine on one. That would not be good. Anyway, we have got completely off topic, but it's very important. I had a very interesting conversation with Christina Adams about crisps. That was fun. So yes. So we're talking about doing things like podcasts and video shows and how it's helpful for people to identify you as the expert. And I'm doing this podcast, and I think people are just going to assume that I'm cheese and wine obsessed, which is true. But they're not. I don't think I'm helping my business get clients. But the whole point of this is, because you know me quite well, is I think for me, I'm a bit quirky, a bit weird and loud. And I think people need to get to know me. And I don't come across as myself when I'm writing, ironically, for a writer. So this is the podcast is a way for people to get to know me as a whole, very weird person. So
I don't
hopefully
think you're weird, but maybe I'm just as weird.
this is
And also, that's exactly it, is people getting to know who you are. And as long as, that's my analytics show might not be polished, but people get the idea that I do analytics now. And they will be learning really good tips. It's just I haven't got all the swishy cool stuff happening that I would love to have happening.
Yeah, but you'll get there because you've got the skills because you've done it before.
Yeah.
You also mentioned conferences, which is where you and I met, and it's something that a few people have been talking about conferences. What is it that you like about conferences? What do you get out of attending? Because it's a big expense, isn't it, really, to take time out and travel and stuff. Sorry, that's the dog.
It is, and that's why it's kind of important to know that it's doing something for you to get all those first contacts in there when you meet them. So the two big ones I go to are, which I go to Social Media Marketing World, but I'm not going to go every year anymore because it is, that's like 3 or 4 thousand by the time you've got your hotel, your spending money, your ticket. San Diego is not a cheap place to eat or drink.
Yeah.
I mean, you couldn't be drinking wine in a San Diego bar.
Really? Is it that
I
bad?
bought someone a wine, a large glass of wine, but it wasn't like a bottle size glass of wine. I think it was $25. I know that was in a
Like
hotel. You do need to go to the other bars to
12.50 or
get a better
something.
deal, but $25.
Wow.
So, yes, I've met a lot of people there who I've done business with. I've got clients from there. So it's definitely worth going. It's where I met Andrew and Pete. And ironically, I meet a lot of people from the UK and Ireland there.
Yes.
Like from Ireland, as soon as you know somebody's going from Ireland, we become a WhatsApp group. It's like that is Ireland for you. Even though I know I sound English, I am originally English. I'm 30 years in Ireland. I'm just going to sound like this for life. But we will all have like, and then you'll meet someone from Ireland that just like there was a barman last time at the hotel served me the $25 bottle, a glass of wine, and he had an Irish accent, and I was like, oh, where in Ireland are you from? And he was just like, oh, Dublin. And so then I was going, oh, he thinks I'm English. I am English, but you know.
You
So then
don't
I was
feel
like, oh
English
yeah, I
accent.
live in a thigh. And so all of a sudden his eyes light up and we're in a conversation. And then I'm like to every other Irish person in the bar, it's an Irish guy behind the bar. He's from wherever it was, Carlow or something. It wasn't Dublin at all. He was just being, you know.
Yeah.
So ironically, I go all the way to San Diego in California to meet people from Ireland and the UK. Although I have, as I say, I've got clients from the United States and there as well. And Atomicon. So they're my two big ones. But it is expensive and it is time out. So you need to know that you're going. You don't want to go with the agenda to sell things because you're just going to annoy everyone you talk to. But you want to be aware that you're there for a reason. And that's to build contacts that will hopefully turn into sales at some stage. So to build relationships, essentially. Now, I'm an introvert, which people don't generally believe. But honestly, if I don't have time out by myself, I get really miserable, like proper, like depressed and anxious. So I have to work myself up. So this is for all you introverts out there. I have to work myself right up for going to a conference. Firstly, going, not everyone here hates you, because I don't know if that's an introvert thing or just a me thing. That's fine. And then also, you know, you're going to have a good time. You're going to enjoy yourself. You're going to have a few drinks. Try not to drink too much so you don't look like an idiot. And you're going to meet as many people as you can. And then afterwards, you're going to come home and sleep for a long time. And that really works for me as well, knowing that there's a time limit to it. And then, yes, if I gear myself up, I will meet all those people. I'll have good conversations with people. I won't come across as, it's a long time since I've come across as shy, to be honest. But I think that really works. So yeah, I think you definitely don't want to go with the agenda that you're going to sell something. You want to go with the agenda that you want to meet lots of people that you can do business with, whether it's you referring people to them or them referring people to you in the future. And that totally works for me.
I would agree with that. I mean, I think you didn't mention the learning at all,
That's not why I go. I have to say, I
which is
don't
not why
go to
I'd
many
go anymore. And
talks.
Tim said the same. I thought that was quite interesting, is that you get to a point where you've learnt most things, and then everything else is just, evolving and iterating on the same ideas. But it is very definitely a networking thing. And I don't think even, going with a mindset that you of selling, nobody's going to buy from you anyway. So there's, that's not what, nobody else is there for that. But it's very, for me, and especially now I live in France, it for me, it's about developing and deepening relationships and connections with people who I've met and got to know over time, like you, like Tim, like Lucy. And I think that's really, really valuable, is to put the time in to just talk to people and to talk to them as humans. It's not all about, it is hard when you're self-employed. It feels like everything is about business. But that is, it's about building a network, but having people that, when you are having a hard time, you've got people to talk to, but also people who can celebrate with you, who get it because they're also self-employed. But every client I've had in the last 9 years has come either directly or indirectly through Atomic. Everybody, because I went every Friday morning, not every Friday morning, once a month for about a year and a half, on a Friday morning to the Copthorne, and I networked with people, and I was terrible at it, and I was terrible at my 60s. Even say I'm not an introvert, I can't pretend to be one, but I hated that networking, the whole networking vibe. I just couldn't do it, but I persisted, mostly because they were also my marketing coaches, and I couldn't get out of not going. And I have built up relationships now that are proper friendships. So I was in England last month for a 40th, and that was somebody who I first met at Atomic. and now we're friends as well as having worked together. So yeah, it takes time, doesn't it? It doesn't happen overnight, but you do make connections. And sometimes you learn things as well. You might learn something new
I
about
do
marketing.
go to some talks, and I do. I made a pledge this time to watch some back from Atomicon that. So I did go to a few. I kind of made my schedule so there was enough time for me to network and talk to. Obviously, some of my clients are actually there now, so to actually meet up with them and talk to them. But I did go to some talks. There is always something new you can learn, or a new way of doing something, or just learn from, because I do speak myself, and a lot of us do have to do speaking in order to get recognized out there. It's good to see the styles that people are talking. I did watch, I think, four of them back. I have this little accountability group. The Irish people got together, and there's four or five of us in an accountability group. So one of my accountability things was to watch. We meet once a month, and it was to watch four of them before the end of the month. I was up all night the night before watching them, but I'm really glad I did. So there is learning to be had, and I don't think we ever, it's a bit, it would be a bit arrogant for us to say we know everything,
Of course, yeah.
but you want to balance that. It's not really about that learning. It's about, for me, it's about meeting people, building relationships with other business people.
Yeah,
The
and I think
business
that's
happens
the
at the end.
yeah, and that's the advantage of an event like Atomicon, where they're recording the talks.
Yeah.
So you're getting the value of being in the room if you are in the room, but also if you're doing something else, then you're not missing out. And that because obviously they've taken the inspiration from social media marketing, well, haven't they, with the multi tracks. Then if you've got that thing where you go, oh, I'd really like to see both of those people who are on at the same time. You're not actually losing out because you can always catch up on the replay, which is nice, I think. So yeah.
And
So
yeah, I'm terrible at watching them, but I do learn more from a replay than I do from live,
yeah.
because I like to be able to pause, rewind, you know,
Yes,
so
yes,
I
yeah.
can make my notes properly. But yes, if only I could be more dedicated to watching them, that would be good.
Yeah, I know. I've done that before where I've had access to something for a year, and then it's like right at the very last minute I go, oh yeah, I should watch that before they take them all down. But it's nice to have the option. Can we talk a little bit about creativity? It's a question I've been asking everybody, and about finding ways to be more creative. Now, I know you're a knitter. Is that a creative outlet for you when you're not staring at data and numbers and things like that?
Yeah, I think part of the reason I like the live show is because I like creating things, or I make videos because I like creating things. But there's less of that happening now as I'm doing more analytics stuff. And also because I used to enjoy it so much that I worked all the hours, which meant I didn't get much sleep and all those downsides. Didn't get on with anyone particularly well because I was always tired. So it is important to have a creative outlet. I do it at work, but I like to create things. It gives you a great satisfaction. So I knit stuff like the jumper I'm wearing now, which nobody's going to see, which I'm really glad because my face is ridiculously red at the moment.
It's a very fetching jumper.
Yeah, I always wanted one. It's a Dennis and Menace one for those people who can't see. I always wanted one, and I could never find one. And then I was like, oh, just knit one, Amanda. So I did, knitting socks, knitting little toys. There is a joy you get similar to when you create something. It also stops me looking at my phone. It's like, you know, like everyone, there's no point. A lot of digital marketers pretend. They're like, well, I have to look at my phone for work. Yeah, no. So it stops me looking at my phone. I also like baking. I was just thinking all the things I do, it's all about kind of, I like to see like I've created something. So even like I started working out a few years ago, mostly because I'm menopausal, not because I wanted to like have a sculpted body. And believe me, I do not have a sculpted body, but it is nice to see the changes in your body
Yes.
when you work out. So like
Yeah,
muscles
very
becoming a
definitely.
little tighter. So anything when you can see that end result, I really enjoy. But knitting 100%, it can be quite stressful when you drop stitches. Just to mention, not a stress-free, it's not like a little old lady knitting there. They are actually quite stressed as they're knitting. Being that little old lady that I am now.
They're not as calm as they look.
No.
Yeah. I cannot knit. I can do a very basic knit, but my grandma was a knitter, and she used to make blankets for, I don't know, some Catholic charity or whatever, I don't know what it was, But my job was to contribute to this by knitting some squares, and so she would cast on for me, and I would just sit there, and it would take me blooming ages to knit one square, and it was, I don't know how I did it. I counted the stitches, and it was like some kind of concertina, it would expand and contract. I don't imagine my squares would have kept anybody warm, but yeah. So I have the basics of knitting, very basic, but I still don't know how to cast on or cast off. So I would just have, one long piece of
See,
dropped
that's
stitches.
crocheting. I can't crochet. I learned to knit when I was a kid too. So, and I never cast on when I was a kid. But you know what? YouTube is fantastic. It's like anytime it says do this, I'm like, what? And I can't read it because when you read it, all these words tangle up in my brain and I'm like, that doesn't make sense. It's like knit one and then pull it over the back of the needle and through the front of the needle. And I'm like, what? YouTube, they show me how to do it. It's like perfect. So I couldn't cast on. I made a tea cozy. That was the first thing I made of Michael D. Higgins. I want to call him Miggledy because that's what that's his nickname, who's president of Ireland currently. And it was a thing, Michael T. Higgins. So
I like
I bought
that.
a little kit and I was like, right, I can't cast on. What do I do? Went to the internet, went, oh, I can cast on. So the whole thing made loads of mistakes, but it looks pretty good. It's in my cabinet. We're not using it on a teapot because I'm pretty sure it would fall apart. But it looks pretty cool.
Well, I think that's the main thing, so long as it looks good. Yeah, I mean, anything like that, I would love to be craftier, but I'm just not. I mean, we did shows how old I am. We did needlework in my first year of high school, and I made a cushion, and I made we had everybody had to start off by making a cushion, and then at the Christmas term we made a stocking, and then we had to make an item of clothing. And honestly, my grandma did that. She did
I'm
my
sure that's
year
the story for a lot of people.
my year seven wraparound skirt. She cut it out and did everything, and I think I just sat in the back of the classroom and pretended that I was, doing something and handed it in. So yes, needlework was not a GCSE subject, but I don't think I would have done it. I'm not very crafty. I wish I was. I look at all these projects that people have and I think, oh, it looks great, but it's
It's just like you just, I think starting with the tea cozy was probably silly because there was a lot of things I had to learn how to do on the way. And if I did it now, it would be a lot neater and a lot better. But you don't, I think it's just like, don't, like, if you mess up, you're going to mess up because this is me saying this and I hate messing up. So I don't listen to my own advice. If you mess up, you can just, because I'm learning socks at the moment. So I'm in this sock knitting addicts group on Facebook, and honestly that's all I look at on Facebook these days. And I read all the things, I'm like, right, I'm going to knit some socks. And I went and I bought the wool, and I've got so much sock wool now, it's crazy. I keep buying it and it's really expensive too. This isn't like a pair of socks you could buy in Primark.
I was going to say, wool is expensive, isn't it?
Yeah, so anyway, I've knitted the first one and it looks fine. It's a little bit too big because I did it, the needles were a little bit too big because I accidentally got, anyway, that doesn't matter. And the tension isn't great. I read, so I was knitting it at a wide tension because I thought it was too small. Then I read in the group that if unless you do it on a tight tension, you'll get holes in them really quickly. So the second one is going to be really, is a really tight tension. It's going to be really good. It's going to be a completely mismatched pair, but I've learned from that, right? So next time, next set will be really good and they'll have no holes in them.
I used to work with somebody who was an avid knitter, and she was always coming in with her latest creations. And she used to go to one of the local pubs, which we were I lived in York at the time, and she used to go to one of the pubs, and she said to me, "Oh, come, you should come as well." And I said, So I went, and I think she had to cast on for me, and I only went the one time, but she said that was amazing because you didn't speak for an hour. She said, "Now I've found something that keeps you quiet." She said, "You were concentrating so hard you forgot to speak." I said, "Yeah, I did." And I never went back, and I don't think you should read too much into that, but it did keep me very quiet because I was really paying attention to what I was doing. But yeah, knitting is quite a popular thing, isn't it?
You know, what I just said about knitting, it was just occurring to me, is like any creating content online. A lot of people don't want to put their content online.
Yeah.
Because it's like that analytics show, because they're still in the learning phase. And it doesn't matter if your first one comes out a bit odd. The second time it's going to be better. The third time it's going to be better. So getting your knitting right is, in fact, I should apply that more and stop stressing about the fact that my analytics show isn't perfect, shouldn't
Yeah,
I?
there, well, there you go. You've had a breakthrough, Amanda.
Yes, exactly. Thanks for this.
Anytime, come back again next time you've got a business challenge. I have just realised I have taken up an awful lot of your time, and you've been very kind about that. Before we go, where can people find out more about you? Do you want to point? You can point them at anything you want. You can point them to your Knitting Addicts group if you wish.
No, I don't want anyone in there. It's my group. So two places you can find me: my website, which is spiderworking.com, not spider networking. So think about a scary spider doing it, typing at a computer, spiderworking.com. Or you will find me, the best place to connect with me is LinkedIn, where I am just Amanda Webb, because that's my name. So you'll find me on LinkedIn. I have orange hair in the photo, so when you're looking, that's who you're looking for.
That is brilliant. Thank you very much for your time, and I will hopefully see you soon.
Yes, and thanks for the chat on advent calendars. I'm feeling very proud of mine.
Yes, I'm quite jealous now. I'm going to go and tell Mark and insist that he goes out and buys me one of them. Thank you. Hi, it's Gudrun. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Applecast. If you'd like to be a guest on the show, feel free to get in touch. Alternatively, please recommend the podcast to someone else. I'll see you on the next episode. Bye for now.